So if you would bow your head with me, Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this privilege of coming together this morning. We lift our dear brother Steve up to you. As you know the intimate details of everything that he's going through right now, I know his prayer is that he would glorify you in this trial. And Lord, we lift up this food, both spiritually and physically, that we will partake of this morning, Lord. Lord, give me the right words to share with you this morning that have come from you and your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for this privilege this morning. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, you know.
Can't hear in the back.
Can't hear in the back. Can you hear in the back now?
Since you're so tall, we need to.
Oh. Okay. Good. You know, I got a lot of things on my heart this morning, and I heard a quote years ago, and I'm going to share a couple of quotes along the way. And the saying was, it says, your ears will never hear until your heart begins to listen. And so my prayer this morning is that your hearts would hear what I have to share with you today, okay? And I know I had the privilege 16 months ago to share with all of you. And little did I know at that time that 5 days later, my dearest wife, Gina, would be right before the Lord, okay? And I'll be honest with you guys, up until that point, the most difficult trial that we had faced was the passing of our three-year-old son, Tommy. But this was tougher. This was a tougher trial. And so this morning, I want to try and interweave a little bit of a testimony along with the story of Abraham and Isaac, okay? Pastor Paul, in the first message, he described what faith is. And it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. You know, and we're all on our own personal journey, or as John MacArthur talks about, a pilgrimage of faith. And each one of us are on our own pilgrimage of faith. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and it's not something that you would compare with someone else, because it's what you are living through, no matter what your age is. You know, and I remember years ago, one time, Gina and I were talking, and it was shortly after we had become believers. And I said, honey, we really don't have much of a testimony. And little did we know the things that would come from that. And I think that, and some of you will be able to relate to this, and I'm going to share a little bit of this. Some of you may be familiar with the DVDs of the American Gospel. And I want to, if you're not familiar with that, we live in a culture today where a lot of believers have a misunderstanding of what trials are all about and what suffering is all about. Because we have a lot of false teachers in our culture that are teaching that God wants you to be happy, God wants you to be prosperous, God wants you to be healthy. All these good things. The problem with that is the fact that it's as if they're treating this life, it's all about this life. It's not all about this life. That's not scriptural, okay? And so if you've not seen that, I highly recommend that you find out about it. And I have copies of some of the things, and I know others do as well. But the point I'm trying to make is that we live in a culture today where people are glorifying this life as if this is what it's all about. This is not our home, brothers. If you're a professing believer, then you have to realize that when you become a Christian, Christ talks about that you're going to suffer. You're going to experience trials in this life. It's not all about you making plans and everything being coming together. And, you know, life is just a beautiful thing. You know, we experience so many blessings in this life, but we have to have a proper perspective on trials and things that we experience. The whole purpose of trials is for us to become more Christ-like. Okay? And I know, you know, I'll just share this with you. When our son was sick, and he passed away almost 30 years ago now, but I can remember it was like it was yesterday. We had well-meaning friends and Christians that would say, well, you know, you didn't pray hard enough, or you know what, maybe you didn't have enough faith, and that's why your son passed away. But you know, that just proves what I'm trying to say is the fact that we have too many people that are professing Christians and professing believers that have believed a false gospel. Okay? And I want to tell you, when you are going through that as a father, and you are trying to do whatever you can do to find a healing solution for your sick child, that's like the worst thing that you could hear is somebody sharing that with you. It's like getting kicked in the gut. And I know some of you in this room have experienced that, whether it was with a child or whether it was with a spouse. I know that, okay? But I realize that having the opportunity to share some things this morning, the Lord brings you through different things and it gives you kind of a unique perspective. So with that, I want to now delve into the scriptures that we're talking about this morning. And that, it's based on Hebrews 11, and they're talking about Abraham. And so in this particular section of Scripture, Hebrews 11, 17 to 19 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And you know, this was like the fifth time in Genesis that records God appearing before Abraham. Okay? And Abraham in Genesis 12 was his initial call from God. And then in Genesis 15, God came and promised Abraham descendants like the stars. You got to remember, he's like 90 years old, right? Okay. The third time was in Genesis 17, where God came to redirect Abraham to his path of faith because he had departed in his encounter with Hagar. You know, sometimes we can hear about characters within the scriptures and we can put them up on a pedestal and not realize that they were really no different than you and I, that they were sinful, that they fell short. And that's where we're at. We're sinful. I'm a sinful guy, okay? You know, just because of being on the elder board doesn't make me to be perfect. There's nobody here that's perfect, okay? None of us. And so, like I said, in the third time in Genesis, God was strengthening Abraham's faith at this time. And then the fourth time where God appeared before Abraham was Genesis 18. And that was when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and Sarah and announced the birth of their child, which would be the promise. And he would have to deal with the problem of sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that was where God rewarded his faith. Okay, but now we reach this fifth time where God appears before him. And this is really where the ultimate test of Abraham's faith in the difficult commands. Okay, and I have to be honest with you. It's one thing to go through a suffering child. It's an entirely different thing when you're commanded before God to actually be the one that takes the life of your own child. Okay? And not that any of us are going to be commanded by God to do that. Okay? But you have to walk by faith. And so let me read some of these additional verses. I tried to include all these things on the paper so that you didn't have to be concerned about trying to jot notes or filling in the blank or that sort of thing. But it says that in 1 Peter 1:6, he says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so Abraham's faith was tested, and his devotion, it was a trial of his devotion to God. And then the proof of love is always found in our willingness to sacrifice. Okay? His faith was also tested in the way that it was a trial of his spiritual understanding. God's promise seemed to be pitted against God's command. Now, in vision, Abraham had been promised this whole lineage, but at the same time, here he was faced with this command that the Lord had put before him. But see, he knew that even if he needed to be faithful and obedient to sacrifice his only son, that God would raise him from the dead. Okay? And I know that, the trial of Abraham's knowledge of God and trust in him. You know, it's interesting, when Abraham was commanded and he obeyed God's mandate to leave Ur, he left everything behind. So he left his past behind, okay? And he was summoned at Mount Moriah to sacrifice his only son. Now, in the reality was, it wasn't his only son, but it was the son that the promise was to be fulfilled through. Okay? So it's important to know that as well. But see, he was asked to also surrender his future. Not just his past, but his future. And he walked these steps of faith, and he was obedient. And I know Scott and other guys have talked about the obedience of Abraham. And, but there was a great problem for faith. He says, how does faith overcome the natural objections to this command? Okay? So first of all, faith kneels before God in humble submission. And Abraham, he realized that God's will is higher than his own will. Okay? And, I remember being in the room with Pastor Paul when Gina left to be with the Lord. And, you pray for healing. I was praying for healing for her. But, at some point you have to realize in John 17, he talks about Christ's high priestly prayer, that he's praying for all of those that are here on this earth that will come and join him in heaven. Okay? And at some point, I'm praying for healing for my wife, and Christ is praying for my wife who's about to join him in heaven. And at some point in that process, I had to come to the realization, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Okay? And I know all of you have experienced this. I just happen to be the one that has the privilege to try and share this morning with you. But I think it's important that we realize as believers, this is not our home, right? If we go through trials, and, you know, some folks have bought into the whole thing of, you know, the easy believism. You say a prayer and you're accepted by the Lord, and you can still live the life that you lead now. I'm sorry, but you're going to be sorry, horribly mistaken when you come before the Lord and you realize that you had believed a lie your whole life. Okay? He paid a price for each and every one of us. And we have to realize that it's a free gift from the Lord. It's not based on how good we are. I used to think that you had to be as good as possible in order to get to heaven. And that's a lie. You know, but you can get to the point where you can buy into a lot of the deception. You know, the scriptures talk about in the last days, people want to have their ears tickled. There's a lot of ear tickling going on in this country right now, in a lot of churches. And fortunately, and praise God, our church is not one of them. Because our pastors are not afraid to speak the whole truth, the whole scriptures, even the difficult passages. Okay? And so, you know, you can say when you go through a trial, and we've seen this, I've seen this within family, you can say that you believe in Christ, that you're a Christian, and a trial comes along, and you collapse under that, but you start blaming God, okay? You start denying Him. It's okay to go through the experience and lose your equilibrium for a while to where you're questioning God. That's okay, but sometimes you get to the point where you just turn away. Some people just turn away from the Lord, and you start, blaming Him. And really what this is doing, it's revealing the illegitimacy of your faith. That's really what it's revealing. Okay? And so we have to have a proper understanding. And you may have gone through trials. You may have gone through difficulties in life. But it's important that you realize that God is using those to perfect us. Not that we are perfect. And you may have a trial right now. Maybe you're having a major difficult time within your marriage. You know, each of us has to take the time to examine ourselves. We're commanded to examine ourselves before the Lord, okay? And to honestly do that, you know? And sometimes we play games. We can play games with God, and that's not what we're commanded to do. You know, A.W. Tozer had a quote, and I tried to share this in the group the other day, but it always stuck with me. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And if you think about that, all the life's experiences and things that we do, as long as we keep it within the framework of God and God's Word, it's not all about our life experiences. It's how God is using those experiences to grow us into becoming more Christ-like and more like Him. Okay? And, you know, I look back, you know, I'm going to have a birthday later this month, and, you know, I'm getting close. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting close to 70, and it's like, man, I remember when I was a kid, I thought 19 was old, you know. But the thing is that you can reflect back on your life, and I look back now, and I said, yeah, you know what? I'm grateful for the trials that the Lord has brought me and my family through. It's not just you as an individual, but you as a family, you go through these trials as well, okay? Anyway, I keep going off script, and I got to stay with the story here. But that's okay. But you know what? God uses all of these things for His glory, because somebody needs to hear some of these things. Okay? And, you know, I just want you to understand that I so appreciate this church, the brothers that I'm on the elder board with. I love each and every one of them. I love our church body. I love the opportunity to be used by Him. And sometimes we don't know how the Lord is going to use us in the future. But it's important that we look, we keep our spiritual eyesight sharpened. You know, going back to, you know, the great problem with faith, Abraham. I think I covered the first two. The third one, faith even obeys even without answers. And we must observe that faith gains understanding through God's word. You know, we always have to realize that God knows what's best for us. Sometimes we think we know what's best for us, okay? And we can make plans. And man, I had a whole lot of plans. But God had other plans, okay? And it's important for us to realize that, you know. And Abraham was able to obey because he knew and trusted God. You know, we talk about this beautiful song that we've been singing for the last couple months, Abide. Man, first time I heard that, I said, oh, Lord, I love that song. And I play it at the house, play it on my phone. But see, Abraham was able to walk this faith, this pilgrimage of faith that he found himself on, because he was abiding with the Lord. He had a relationship with the Lord. You know, before Gina and I became true believers, we didn't understand when people would say, hey, it's about a relationship with the Lord. Because I always felt that we had to go through someone else in order to get to the Lord. It was never a personal relationship. And so even as believers sometimes, we have to remember that God is a good God, that God loves us. Even when we sin, He paid the price, even when we were still sinning and continue to sin against Him. Yeah, I know I got so many verses on here, but I know we kind of got a little bit of a late start. And I'm sensitive to the promptings of the groanings of your stomach too, right? So, right, Ian? All right, okay, good. But I think, you know, it's important that we realize that Abraham made the comment, stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will come back to you. So he knew as he walked this walk of faith and it was being tested that somehow the Lord would still continue to have Isaac there with him. It's important for us to remember that. And Abraham knew that, okay? And I'm not going to go through each of these verses, but it's important for you to take the time to reflect on that. And, you know, the parable of the offered son, there's so many parallels between the offering that of Abraham was asked to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, and the sacrifice that God the Father made in sacrificing his son, okay? See, I write these notes and I end up writing so small that it's hard for me to read. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Isaac carried the very wood that he was to use in that sacrifice. And think about this. The parallel is that Christ carried the very cross that he was to be sacrificed for the sins of each and every one of us. Okay? And so that was a powerful parallel. But the point is that the Lord will provide. And the Lord has provided. Okay? You know, and I go and I reflect back, and I know my son John doesn't like when I share this, but you know, when we were going through little Tommy being sick and going through chemo from the brain tumor that he had, he passed in March of 93. Gina was expecting a baby at that time. 4 months later, we were blessed with our son, John. And so in our personal instance, God did provide. Not that John was a replacement for Tommy, which he affectionately would say, "Dad, so what am I, the replacement?" Okay? But the Lord knows. The Lord knows the intimate details of the pilgrimage of faith that you have walked up to this point. But our spiritual eyesight and our hearts need to be in tune with what He is trying to do with each of our walks. No matter if you're my youngest grandson over there, or Mike Zabilski's not here, I can't use him as an example, but that's okay. And anyone in between, okay? The Lord will use each of the trials within your life to bring glory to Him. And so you have to examine your heart, examine your life, and see what is the Lord trying to do through me in the trials and the tribulations and things that we experience in this life. And just in remembering, this is not our home. We're laying up our treasures in heaven. Can't wait to see my wife. Of course, I hear that there's not marriage in heaven, but that's okay. She'll recognize me. I'll recognize her. And you'll recognize your loved ones as well. Okay? And so I just, I thank you for the privilege to be able to share with you. I just want to close with this. It says, the faith of Abraham may inspire us, but it is the faith of Jesus that saves us. The Son who humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, Philippians 2:8. There is no atonement on Moriah, but on Golgotha. There is a once for all and perfect sacrifice for sin. It was what was done there that saves Abraham and Isaac and you and I. That quote was from Peter Lewis in his book, God's Hall of Fame. And so I just want to close with that. I thank you for this opportunity to share with you. I'm not the same guy I was when I shared with you 16 months ago. You know, and sometimes we look at that and say, well, gee, I didn't think I was that bad of a guy then. But the point is that the Lord continues to grow us and sharpen us as long as we're staying within His Word and we are being obedient to His Word. It's not a matter of just compacting all this head knowledge and be able to quote a bunch of scriptures and live your life the way that you want to. We have to be honed and sharpened, and that's why we get together each month. That's why I love the guys on the committee that just want to bring glory to God and sharpen us as brothers, because it's important not necessarily in how we begin, it's important in how we finish. And we all want to finish strong, right? Okay? So with that, brothers, I'm done.